Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Laurie Lawson, and this is Coach Chat Radio. My co-host, Lucky Guy Bernie, is on his way to Tahiti. So it's just me today and one fantastic guest that we have. Let me tell you a little bit about Coach Chat. At Coach Chat, we think that if you change your perspective, you can change your life. And we developed this show for coaches and for those interested in one of the fastest-growing professions in the world today. We hook you up with some of the world's leading coaches who share their expertise and give you tips and takeaways for expanding and improving your life and your business. And I think we've fit the bill today with our guest, Amy Blaustein. Amy, welcome to Coach Chat.
Thank you so much for having me. Hello, everybody.
Yeah, let me tell you about Amy, and I think you'll see why I'm thinking, oh, okay, this is going to do it. Amy holds a BA in psychology, a minor in business from Westchester College, and has a master's degree in educational psychology from Texas A&M University. She's an NYU certified personal coach, a certified master coach with Get 5, a trained recovery coach through CCAR. I don't even know what that is. We're going to check that out. And is currently serving as the president of the board of directors for the New York City International Coach Federation chapter, a place that both Bernie and I have been, and that's why you kept saying, we got to get Amy on. So, Amy, we're so excited to have you finally. We've been asking for a year. Come on.
I know. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it because, you know, part of it is I have big shoes to follow with you and Bernie, so I want to make sure
I think you're so busy. I think you've doubled
you.
Since Bernie and I were there. I think you've doubled the membership. I mean, ICF NYC is great. Growing and it's so delightful to see. Bernie always loves to ask our guests, and usually we make it the first question. It's like, well, nobody gets up or in the morning and goes, oh, I think I'll go to college and be a life coach. So that didn't, and maybe they do now, but certainly when we were kicking around, they didn't. So it's like, how on earth did you get into this field of coaching?
And you're exactly right. I think it's a little bit different now just because coaching is so popular and we're so aware of it. So my path was not a traditional path by any means. 2013, I was laid off from a job due to restructuring finances with the organization, and I was assigned a career coach through an outplacement service, actually through Get 5. And as I was working with this coach, and, you know, about a month into our coaching engagement, and I had planned, my background is I have 25 years working in the substance abuse field, and so my plan was just to continue working in the field. And as I was working with this coach, she was amazing, and one day she asked me probably the most powerful question that anybody's ever asked me. She said, have you ever thought about being a coach? I'm sure that I looked at her with this very strange look on my face, and I kind of looked at her as, and I'm pretty sure I said to her, what is this coaching thing you speak of? Because I kind of heard it in passing, but never – you know, really heard about what it was because I have a therapeutic background. So my framework is very different. So the minute she truly said this, I think there was something that just truly just changed and clicked for me. And it was probably the biggest aha moment I had. I had no information about it. I knew nothing about it. But there was something that there was a curiosity about it. And so the minute she said that, I started looking into it. That was in November, the end of November, December of 2013. So as I looked into this, I asked a lot of questions. I looked at different coaching programs, talked to a lot of different coaches. By the end of December of 2013, I was registered at NYU for their certification program. And it was the easiest decision I've ever made. For me, it's difficult to go to a restaurant, pick food off of a menu, yet this is one of the easiest decisions for me. It just was so natural. Scared out of my mind, had a ton of questions, but it just felt like it was the right thing to do. So in February of 2014, I started my program at NYU. And the way the program was structured at the time, I was able to fast-track it. So I finished the program in 7 months. Which was fantastic.
Wow.
And
yeah.
Then I started my coaching business from there. And, you know, part of this just came from, you know, again, asking the questions, being curious. But there was something about that day from that question that she asked me, the power of the question, as we know as coaches, that it's the power of the questions. This just, it was the right path for me to take, and I've never looked back.
Amazing. I have the theory that coaching calls who it wants. And through many different ways, you know, mine was a television show called Starting Over, and it's like, oh, I want to be in that house. And then it was suddenly, oh, maybe I want to be a coach. But what do you think, did you ever ask her, what made you say coaching to me? Did you ever ask that, or did you just go with it?
No, so we did talk about it. And I think because she, and we got to know each other very quickly and formed a great relationship. And I think she knew because of my background, having that therapeutic background, working with people. I think I've always had done a form of coaching. You know, I've always helped people, and I've always understood the value of bringing tools and resources to people, connecting people, working within the community. So I think her intuition, because of what my background was, I think that's why she introduced it to me. And I think because how I interact with people, I think she also probably from that, you know, brought that to the table. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, as Amy and I were talking, we realized that we had a lot in common. I've worked nonprofit all my life. I also worked in substance abuse. That was my first job when I got to New York City. And nobody was talking about being a coach, and I didn't think about it, you know.
Right.
But I was up in the management, and so were you. It was like, so when the thing came around, it was just like, what's a coach, you know? But what I wanted to ask you, do you feel, or how do you feel, let me ask a coaching question, how do you feel that your nonprofit background helped you and helps you today in being a coach?
For me, the framework of nonprofit, especially where I came from, where I worked and the work that I did, the framework was community. And I think having that helped me have an appreciation for the coaching community and being able to translate what that meant coming together. You know, I think the coaching community is very, very special, but always coming together to help people, always coming together to connect people with a tool or a resource or people. I think that really helped align with me with coaching. And I think it because also too, my love for working with people and helping people, you know, seeing people on that journey to better themselves, to get to that next point in their life. I think that really was important for me and something that I've always held on to. And I don't ever want to give that up.
I love it. I agree with you 100% on that. I also think working in the nonprofit world calls on extreme creativity because you never you're piecing together grants and where you're going to get money, and the payoff isn't necessarily money. It is the reward of helping people and the reward of making change in society. And I just think it just lends itself beautifully to coaching. I wouldn't change a minute of my background. It was like maybe it would have been helpful budget-wise to work in a bank, but I think nonprofit gets the short shrift from people who don't work in it because they don't realize exactly the creativity and the stamina and the humanity it takes to actually get that job done. And
I agree.
I'm so glad to hear you say the same thing. It's just like, it's so cool. And I think like everyone else in the field, it was like, oh, I've been doing this all my life. You mean I can get paid for this? This is a career? Okay.
Exactly.
How do I do that? I mean, because I'm sure if you're working with, and you were working with substance abuse with teens, or is it everyone?
Everyone. And I was the director or deputy director of community outreach. So within my career of substance abuse, I've worked in every aspect of it from working in a treatment facility, working with a law enforcement side of it, the program side of it, community side. So for me, being able to have all those components within my career, I think helped as well because this is about people. And you said this, and, you know, as we get into coaching, coaching is about people. And I think that's really, this just kind of brought it full circle for me, getting into coaching.
And it just,
I didn't realize
it, like
yeah.
I know. I was just going to say, it seems mm-hmm. like, you know, oh, how did I end up here? And it's like, but it was kind of like you were paving the way the whole time, you know. You just didn't know for what. But once the opportunity came, you went, oh, okay. So I think coaching called someone that they felt, oh, this is going to be a perfect person. And did you ever share your experience with the counselor who got you into this?
Well, she's actually, her name's Robin Schletter, and she's actually a member of ICF, and she's part of the board of ICF. So, yes, Robin and I are very close, and I, you know, tell the story, you know, every time somebody says to me, how'd you get into coaching? And I always look and I say, if Robin's there, I'm like, this is her fault. And I say, but it's true. This is, she asked, it was being in the right place, the right time, having her ask that question. And, you know, everything happens for a reason. And, you know, yes. I think part of it was, and I'll go back to this for a second, I was in a job that I've always loved being working in the field, but I was at a job that I was there for 7.5 years. First 4 years of it, I loved it. The last 3.5 years, I was miserable. And really, I stayed for the wrong reasons. I stayed because of the people. And I was doing absolutely nothing about it. And actually being laid off from this job, I always say it was the best gift and the worst wrapping paper, but meeting Robin, and really it happened for a reason. And I have never looked back, and I could say with this, and I think a lot of coaches feel this way, I'm doing the want-to job versus the have-to job, but I also could say that I don't feel like I work. I work very hard, but because I love what I do, because I learned something every single day from my clients, because this is such an experience that unless you're in it, I don't know how you describe it necessarily, it's just an amazing feeling. And every day, every experience that I have takes me to that level of becoming a better coach and I think a better person.
Absolutely. Coaching is so experiential, and it is difficult. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I know you went through the same thing at NYU. It was like, get an elevator speech. You got to tell people what you do. And that's so difficult. You can't define it. It's really experiential, and you can go, well, I've moved people from here to here, and that might give them a clue. But definitely, it's almost undefinable, but mm-hmm. I think people like you and I who knew we were ready for a career change, I think people know when you get that spidey sense, you know, it's, oh, things just aren't right. Things could be better.
Exactly.
You know, and that's when they start thinking, oh, maybe I should get a coach. And as far
yeah.
as your venture into, I have a favorite quote by Jackson Brown, and it's opportunity dances with those who are on the dance floor. And I think you were on the dance floor. You were ready to go.
Exactly.
And you just
I
needed
really
somebody
was.
To go, want to dance? And you did. It's like, yeah.
I did, because I used to be that person who would sit at the edge of the pool. I dip my toe in occasionally. I, you know, splash around a little bit. I never dove in. And for me, it was easier to stay stuck and live in that life because, you know, I didn't want to have to face anything necessarily, make that big change. But when you are forced to do it, especially when it's something that's out of your control, and I could say that being a control freak in a sense, that I've gotten better with it. But when it's something that's out of your control with that, and you're given the opportunity to do the self-exploration and to discover this, I think it's amazing because we don't do that self-exploration until sometimes we're forced to, you know, be it a death, be it a divorce, a loss, something transitional like that. So I think that there's something incredibly powerful that comes out of that, but it's the openness to seeing what's on the other side and what you can achieve.
I totally agree, and I think you're right. It's like I love your expression that your being fired was the best gift you ever got in bad wrapping paper.
It's the best thing. In fact, I had a client that described that, and the minute she said that, I thought that's exactly what it is, because I wasn't doing anything to change my situation. I was going to work staying comfortable. It was miserable, but staying comfortable because I had others around me that could commiserate with me. And we were all in that same place. And some of my closest friends worked there. So why change up what that family is and those dynamics? But I didn't look at the possibilities of what was on the other side of it, the happiness on the other side of it. So that's why I took that experience, and I really hold that close to my heart when I'm working with clients, because it is possible. It is about finding the want to versus the have to, and being open to what is on the other side and those opportunities.
Absolutely, and change is scary. I mean, it's so necessary, but it's absolutely scary too. So yeah, you have to keep that in mind. And it's like there, you know, because you had the misfortune, and now we know the fortune of losing your job. It was like you might just imagine it would have taken you much longer to move. So you have to celebrate change, even no matter what form it comes in. Yeah,
exactly. And I will admit this, that I don't know that if that had not happened, I may very well still be there. I have a lot of friends that are still there. I know. So that's the power of, you know, what the situation is, that I think about that, you know, if I had not been told we no longer need your services, I may very well still be there. And it's just something every day I look at, God, thank goodness I got to make this change and I'm doing what I'm doing. And I love it.
Yeah. And do you find that you can use it in current situations? It's like, whoa, this isn't going the way I want, but maybe it's for the best, you know?
100%. And, you know, I also, because of doing career coaching and life coaching, I work with a lot of clients that are in that transition that have separated from their company for whatever reason. And so being able to have that empathy for that client and to be able to, you know, share that experience, give examples, I feel like I have a better connection with my client because I know what they're going through. And they could see, you know what, there is something on the other side of this. There is that brightness. There is that hope. Because the minute something happens like that, your entire world changes. Your identity changes. You know, everything that we know has been turned upside down. So to have somebody that understands, you know, what it is they're going through, I think brings an extra level to that coaching engagement relationship.
I agree 100%. And I know so many, well, I won't say so many, but I know several coaches who think, oh, my God, I have to know everything and I have to have all the answers.
Oh.
And it's like, no, you have to bring your vulnerability to the table and let people know, you know, well, here I am and I'm doing what I'm doing and I've had that problem. And you don't have to know everything. In fact, it's better if you don't, because and this will lead us into your book, Missy, because if you don't know everything, then you're going to be curious.
Right.
It's like, what's going on? So
yeah.
I gave a little hint about a book. I believe, are you coming out this month on the cover of this book?
Well, thank you. Nice segue. I appreciate that. So because of getting into coaching, because of the different opportunities that I've had, I met a woman who is part of ICF, our local chapter. And one day she had reached out to me and had asked, she and her partner, her name is Snehal Singh, and then her other, her writing partner or partner in this book, Divya, and I'm her last name, if I botch it, I'm sorry, it's Jagasomtharum. And they're both lovely women. And what they did was they came up with this idea. They worked together for a long time. They're lecturers. They're both coaches. And casually one day they were talking about what is missing or what is not available for coaches, people getting into coaching that's been there for a while, and something that serves coaches about what's the wisdom that we need. And so what they did, they're both best-selling authors. They came together and asked 21 authors, each of us, to write a chapter in this book. The book is called Coach Wisdom, and it's the secret of 21 successful coaches. And so we all have the opportunity to write a chapter about what would we want to share with other coaches, be it a new coach, be it a seasoned coach. And for me, my biggest message theme throughout my chapter, the name of the chapter is Curiosity in the Coach. I was that person that, God forbid, I would ever go out of my comfort zone. And, you know, again, sitting on the side of the pool. Once I got into coaching and especially with ICF, I didn't say no to any opportunity. I always said yes. And I think that got me into this place of where I am now. I've only been coaching for 4.5 years. And now that I am president of one of the top 3 chapters in the world for ICF, is phenomenal. I never, you know, it's, I don't want to take it for granted by any means, but it's that curiosity of what can I do? What can I get into next? What can I say yes to? And so that was really my framework of where I came from with this was say yes. You know, somebody called me, and I get calls all the time, and I'm sure you do because of your experience, that people call me all the time that want to talk about coaching that are getting into it. I'm not going to say no to anybody because people did it for me. It was also the idea of this community that really helped me engage in it. And, you know, if I got calls to do a workshop, yeah, it may have been scary. I didn't say no to it. So it's really opening yourself up to these opportunities that I think, yes, it's about the coaching and the people, but also what do you say yes to? What are you open to? What can get you to that next place? And so being a part of this book, it was a tremendous honor for this. But what they did, which was really creative, was there is a general book that has, you know, Snehal's and Divya's name on it. But we, as each one of us being authors, we also have a cover with our own name on it. So that's, it's a proud moment. I've never done anything like this before, you know. And so to be able to tell a story from this point of view, I hope, you know, anybody that reads it, I hope they walk away with something.
Well, I have the book because you told me about it. And, well, first let me say I think it's a brilliant idea. I mean, my God.
Yeah.
And we were always thinking what – and we found that the chapter when we were doing it, we would get neophyte coaches because they – you know, it was the community. They just get – you just get out of coaching school and it's like, oh, my God, now what do I do? You
what
know?
Do I do?
And,
mm-hmm.
And so I tell all my people, my mentees, and go to ICF because – that's your community now. So that, I think it's a brilliant idea. But I think you should toot your own horn a little. One of the chapters in this book is Marshall Goldsmith, for God's sake.
Yeah.
And then we have Amy Blaustein. So, hey.
Well, thank you.
That's pretty impressive.
Company, yes. Between Marshall and then another gentleman, John Matone, who was Steve Jobs' coach. Not doing name drop because I don't normally do that. But when – I would have done it regardless, but when I was told that they were going to be in the book, it was kind of like, oh, my gosh, I'm so new into coaching compared to these gentlemen and their experience, and I thought, here's an opportunity I cannot pass up. I'm not a writer, so for me to do something like this and to have somebody read my words, it's like I'm in company with these people. And so that was a very proud moment, I have to say, yes.
Yeah, pretty darn impressive. Yeah,
yeah.
Now
thank you.
To be on the cover, oh,
yeah,
with Marshall on the inside, that's not bad.
Not bad.
So good for you.
Thank you very much.
Well, where can they find this book, Amy?
So it's on Amazon, and actually the exciting part, so it was launched January 15th. It's on the Amazon bestseller list. And this is what was exciting about it is that went to the Amazon bestsellers list in multiple countries in just 4 days. So that was really exciting to see that part of it. But I don't think it's just for coaches. I think it's for entrepreneurs. I think it's also for anybody that wants to change, as we talk about, you know, go through that exploration. And that's what I think everybody brings something different to the book, all the different authors. You know, my other message to people, not just being curious, but keeping it simple. You know, for me, I've always, no matter what, my clients are always my priority. And that will be something that I will never change in anything that I do, that my time for my clients, that's what's most important for me. Everything else is exciting and wonderful, but keeping my clients as my priority, as the number one, that's why I'm doing this. I'm here for them. So that's something I will never change.
And what is the – I don't have the book in front of me. What is the tagline? Or it's Coach Wisdom, 21 tips from four – what is it, 21?
The Secrets of 21 Successful Coaches.
Yes, yes. So you're absolutely right. It is for everybody. It doesn't mean that your profession has to be coaching. It could just be whatever you're into. I mean, certainly curiosity is going to come in handy. I know another chapter is about courage, you know. And
yes.
So all of these little tips, like how you do, it's just they got all these magnificent coaches together to share. I'm very jealous.
I know, it's like,
truth.
Why did we
I'm
not think
jealous.
About this? But the way they did this was, yeah, exactly. But it was smart because they were sitting there, both being coaches themselves, both lecturers, both, you know, authors themselves, and thinking about what do we do? What's another tool and resource that we can provide people? And how to bring, and this is what I love about it too, is how do you bring the community together in a different way? And, you know, that's the biggest thing. And I think you said it, and anybody that feels it, I think ICF is a really important part because of that community. And community, I think there's the coaching community is really special. There's something about it that nobody says no to anybody. And it's one of those things, everybody's willing to help each other. Everybody is willing to, you know, have that phone call, exchange an email, support you no matter what. And I think that's a unique thing, too, because coaching, and I'm sure you've talked about it on your show, and I'm sure that, you know, with your experience with ICF, it can be it's a solo practice. And, you know, for us to be able to have a purpose, have a place, that community to go to, it's really reassuring. It's really special. And everybody's got their own version of what coaching is to them and the way they do it. That's what I love about this. Every person in this book, they have their own version and their own path to coaching. No, there's no two that are alike.
And I love your point that it really is, because coaching is a solo thing. I mean, it's you and your client. And if you're doing that from your home, it's like you do need a community of some kind, someone to check in with. And I'm so thrilled that ICF NYC is in your hands and you're carrying on that whole concept. So what we want the listeners to do is go to Amazon.com and check out Coaching Wisdom. That's 21 masters of coaching that are going to give you their hottest tips, which is a great book. And then tell us what you got going at ICF NYC. What's happening for 2019?
Oh, it's so exciting. And we have several new members to the board. It's, you know, it's amazing. Here's my question for you, and then I'll tell you. How many members were in the chapter when you were president?
I'm astounded, and we thought we were hot stuff. It was around 440, and it was like, oh, look, how cool are we? And we would always be upset because Washington, D.C. had a few more than us. And now, how many are in there?
We're around almost 830 members.
Oh, my gosh.
And
that's so fantastic.
Yeah, we average, you know, roughly 20 to 21 new members a month. It's incredible. Mm. So what we're really focusing on this year with programming is really paying attention to what is it that our chapter members want. And so we've just sent out a survey finding out what are the types of programs, what are the types of tools and resources that we can support you with, and really supporting not just the new members, not just new coaches, but also our seasoned coaches. We have a great event that's coming up March 4th about coaching successful women in leadership roles to be successful. We have an amazing panel of people, and I think it's going to be a wonderful evening. And, you know, please, if anybody's interested in it, go to the website. It's icfnycchapter.org. Sign up for it. It's going to be at NYU. We're partnering with NYU on this event. The panel of women, and there's actually a gentleman who's also, he's a coach. He's coached women. The whole concept of this is, as coaches, how do we coach women to be successful in leadership roles? We know that that's a big hot spot right now. And we really want to make sure that our coaches are walking away with great ways of how do they coach the women that they're working with. And, you know, somebody from Comcast, somebody from Dow Jones, we have a woman that's going to talk about the academic side of this, the research that's been done. So that's on March 4th. We have several events coming up for our new members as well. We've really been trying to do a lot to engage new members. because we want to make them feel welcome, to make them feel that sense of community.
Well, let me ask you something. Can anybody sign up for the website? I mean, for the can anybody get that information off of ICFNYCchapter.org? Anybody can just go in.
Oh, they can go, and you can, it's, you know, definitely sign up. It doesn't have to, you don't have to be a coach. That's the lovely thing about it. We have students coming. Anybody who has an interest in this, we welcome everybody. We love to have our guests there. We learn from
our guests.
And
will they find you there?
I will be there.
What if they want to get, what if they want to ask you some questions or check out your services? Will they find you on there?
At the event or on the website?
On
the
event, on the
website. I will absolutely be there. Yes, if they go to the board of directors, you can find me there. Happy to be there. If people are interested and want to talk to me, they can go to amyblaustincoaching.com.
Okay.
Happy to talk to anybody. That was a nice little plug there, wasn't it? But, yeah, I hope everybody visits the website. The other thing that's great about the website, and